He defeated the giant by the way he thought. So today we're going to talk about the power of our minds being connected to God's word. Romans 12:1 says this, a great, important revelation in scripture says this, I beseech you, brethren, sister, and everyone, by the mercies of God, aren't you glad that we're directed by God's love and mercy to behavioral change? In the Old Testament was, thou shalt not. Jesus stood on the mountain and said, blessed are the ones that do this, the pure in heart, the poor in spirit, the hungry and thirsty, the peacemakers. He introduced a new entry point, a new motivational attraction. He said, man, get blessed by doing these things. It is because we've experienced God's love, he's earned our trust, and because of that, we gladly do this next part, by the mercies of God, that you present, that you yield, that you surrender your bodies to God, a living sacrifice, holy and reasonable, which is your reasonable service, holy and acceptable. So the least I can do is give God my life because of what God's given me. So that's what he wants. And so the way then God then appropriates a governmental presence in my life, then how does God get control of my life, Pastor? How do we become a living sacrifice? Well, verse 2 tells us, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed, metamorpho, a change of nature, be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove, test, know, and experience what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. And be not conformed to this world. Why? The world's crazy. Just helping you, okay? The world's crazy. Really intelligent people come to really unintelligent conclusions without God in their equation. So be not conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By renewing your mind. And when you renew your mind with God's word, what happens? You will then experience, test, know, live and discern in that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That's God's plan for you. The Message Bible says it like this. So here's what I'm saying to you. God helping you. Take your everyday life, your ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, and walking around life, and place it before God as an offering. So let God control kind of the everyday aspects of your life. Embracing what God has for you is the best thing you could do for him. And don't become so well-adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. The Passion Bible says, beloved friends, what should be our proper response to God's marvelous mercies? Well, here it is. I encourage you to surrender yourselves to God to be a sacred living sacrifice and live in holiness, experiencing all the delights of his heart. For this becomes your genuine expression of worship. Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of the way you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. So we change from the inside out. We change by the way we change our mind. When we renew our minds, we change our lives. We're going to talk about that. I'm going to give you a lot of information today. And I'm praying for God just to really excite you about the season you're in. Your whole life can be different in these months to come by the way you change your thinking. Amen? So when I change my mind, when I renew my mind, I change my world. I change my life. There's a great Bible story in 2 Kings that I'll use as a little example here. And it says, when Elijah was first anointed into his prophetic ministry, one of the first things he did is he went back to Jericho. As he comes there, the men of the city said to him, please notice the situation in the city is pleasant, as you can see. So everything looks good, houses and the people. But the water is bad and the ground is barren. Also, there's a problem. So they finally identified that every person's farm was experiencing the same kind of incomplete or barren harvest in their crops. And even the attack on maybe families in barrenness. And so Elijah said, well, bring me a new bowl and put salt in it. So they brought him a bowl, big bowl with salt in it. Then he went to the source of the water. Everybody say source. So they climbed upstream. They went to where the water came out of a rock, came out of the ground, came where wherever it emanated from, they found the beginning place. And he cast the salt into the water and said, thus saith the Lord, I have healed the waters. There shall be no more death or barrenness. And the water remains healed to this day. A few years ago, well, gosh, it's been many years ago, I was sitting in an office somewhere, probably in one of my wife's early maternity visits. And back then, there was ancient devices called magazines in those waiting rooms. And I'm reading through, I think it was the Reader's Digest, and I found the most amazing story. It was a story about a Swiss village high up in the mountains. And there, everyone in the village got sick, and they came to the kind of common denominator that it must have been the water because they shared the same spring water. So the men got their backpacks. They hiked up the Alps. They found a few miles upstream, they found the corpse of a dead pig in the middle of the stream. And now because the pig was rotted and diseased, its disease was flowing downstream. You couldn't see it, but it was present. The stream was poisoned because something dead was in it. And so when they took the pig out of the stream, the waters healed. And the Lord said to me, son, if you get rid of your pigs, I'll heal your water. And so my pigs are unhealthy, ungodly, unscriptural thinking that pollutes the streams of my life. So today we're finding our piggies. We're going to find your pig, hallelujah. And we're going to get out of the stream. So something that's polluting your thought life, your conscious behavior. So God helps us find the Holy Spirit, such a great counselor. One of his names, one of the names of Paracletos, is Counselor. So the Holy Spirit knows how to help us. Amen? So thank you, Holy Spirit, for helping us renew our minds and change our lives. Rock our world with your wonderful leadership, we pray in Christ's name. Couple points. The more renewed your mind becomes, the more of the kingdom of God you'll experience. So you can't experience the kingdom of God on a regular basis more than you've renewed your mind. So today, if you come into a CFTN church service, you can feel God's presence if you're at all open to God. So his presence is here. And so we get that inspiration. I don't know about you, I love it. But the problem is, if I don't renew my mind with revelation, I become addicted to the need of inspiration. So people that don't have revelation constantly need inspiration to move their lives forward. They need to keep feeling things, but sometimes you don't get to feel everything. Sometimes your feelings respond to your faith. And so we have a whole generation that's acting on their feelings instead of their cognitive renewed minds, instead of their faith or their minds. Okay, so we'll talk about that in a minute. So for us as believers, God helps us beautifully, okay? We keep in psychology, we call it cognitive behavioral therapy. And so this was introduced a couple decades ago. And the idea was instead of helping people in counseling by always going back and uncovering everything they've ever been through, let's introduce these new powerful thoughts. And let these new powerful thoughts be like a new wardrobe that they put on. So in the Bible, that's how what we do. The Bible is a mirror of our identity. The Bible is a book of identity, not just behavior. So how we change is we keep putting on the new until it's really you. When I don't feel like more than a conqueror, well, keep reading it. Keep thinking about it. Keep it in the consciousness of your mind until it clicks. I am more than a conqueror. I don't feel like I can do all things through Christ. Well, the Bible says you can. But so if you don't feel like that yet, you need to keep working on believing that. You need to keep that into the orbit of your conscious mental behavior, okay? You need to meditate, as the Bible says, on those things. God will always, our lives will always follow in the same direction as our dominant thoughts. So if you don't like the direction life is going, instead of asking God to redirect you, ask God to help you change your mind. So when you change your focus, we change your thinking. You change your future, change your life. So your words, your actions are the fruit, the evidence, the manifestation of what's happening in your thought life, your mind. To change our words and actions, we have to change our mind. Here's what I just said about little piggies. The source of all your problems is your thoughts. Are your thoughts. I've counseled, Dr. McCrae Sister Judy here, we've counseled a lot of people just in that front row right there. Thousands of people over the years. So we'll hear someone come off, oh, Pastor, what happened? Oh, Pastor, I fell into adultery. Oh, you did? Was it like a pit? You're walking along. I was just walking along, and I just fell right into it. I don't know where it came from. I said, I know where it came from. It came from your cranium. Before it was an action, it was a thought. One ungodly thought can wreak havoc in your life. One ungoverned, one uncontrolled, one unconquered thought. So the source of our problems are our thoughts. Here's a couple of cool things about your mind. Every second, your mind facilitates 400 billion actions to your body. 400 billion, 400 billion, 400 billion, 400. We cannot comprehend that. So we are, like the Bible says, fearfully and wonderfully made. Every second. Your mind has 3 million years of memory capacity in it. Yeah, it's crazy. Some big stuff. Our brains are designed to be redesigned. Our brains change when our thoughts change. So here's what we found out about science, about neurology, the study of the brain, the study of the behavior of the mind. Here's what we found out about neuroscience. That when you change your mind, you reconstruct, you physically change your brain. Studying thoughts, we can now look at a person's brain. A person's thought life, a person's mental function looks like a tree. A thought looks like a tree, the roots of a tree. So all these branches and the branches from its tentacles, and it's kind of cool looking, just very much like a natural root. So our thoughts are these powerful things. But when I introduce a new thought, amino acids are released, and there's this wonderful union, this creative, and neurons go to work, connectors, and I create something that wasn't on the earth before. I create something in my brain with a thought. Now, here's what we found about science, too. So neuroplasticity means the brain can change through the mind's function. So it means this: when I stop thinking about something, my brain starts pushing it out of my memory facility. It pushes it away. And it's like a plant that's not watered begins to die. I don't know about you, I studied Spanish for like 2 years in high school, and all I can do is order at Taco Bell. That's about it. Quesadilla. Wait, I didn't use it. Here's what happens in our mind. If we don't use it, our mind, we lose it. Okay? So don't believe, because the world's crazy. Love them crazy. God loves crazy people. So the world says, oh, you can't change. If you feel that, you are that. If you feel that sexual attraction, that's who you are. We love you. We accept you. Well, we should love them. We should accept them. But we should give them hope and truth that they don't have to be bound by ungodly feeling. Okay? Which means what? Anybody can change. Come on, we are the redeemed. We are the changed ones. Some of us were liars, and some of us were thieves, and some of us were drug addicts, some of us were alcoholics, some of us were whatever you were. You with me? Come on, I was a first grade little liar and I got saved. I was a lying little 6-year-old that came to Christ. That's my testimony. I stopped cheating on my tests, got saved. So the Bible then tells us about this is who we are. Our brains change when our thoughts change. So God made us triune beings, spirit, soul, and body. 1 Thessalonians 5 says, I pray that your whole spirit, soul, and body will be sanctified. So we're triune. So the moment you got saved, your spirit got made perfect. The righteousness of Christ was put into your spiritual being. So you still have a soul, your mind, your will, your emotion, you still have a body. Now your body is stupid.
Feed me.
So your body tells you things, wants things, me wanting. And so your soul then, so what happens is, whichever side your soul joins to controls the body. So when my soul joins to my spirit, believing God's word, I can then govern in godliness and holiness my physical behavior. So that's when we renew our minds, we change our lifestyle because we align with God. Okay? So our lifelong journey, don't you wish? So when I was, Dr. McCray, when I was a boy, people got saved every Sunday. There are people here that fell in sin this week, and you need to get saved again. Well, I saw people get saved like 1,000 times. I was like, I hope it clicks this time. I hope it works out for them. And so what they were feeling was conviction for sin because they had sinned, and they mistook that as lost salvation. And so we thought, so the whole point is they didn't need to get saved again. They needed to get their minds changed. Because we don't conquer sin by being condemned for being sinners. We conquer sin by renewing the way we think about it. Thank you. So God wants us to overcome. Overcomers think differently. Come on, you overcomers. Got some right here, I know for sure. Ephesians 4 says this. I testify, Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles do, walk in the futility of their mind. So unsaved people, their minds, because they're not renewed, walk in futility, uselessness, wastedness, okay? Having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of heart, who being past feeling, they're not open to Holy Spirit conviction because they pushed God so far away. Having given themselves over to lewdness, to sexual perversion, uncleanness and greediness. Okay, so what does it mean, giving yourself over? It means you stop responding to the conviction of the Holy Spirit. So people will say and mean it, my heart's free, my heart's cleaned. I feel this is totally right. I feel like this is totally right, and the Bible says it's totally wrong. Why? Because they push God out of the orbit of their behavior, and they're no longer, I don't know about you, it's good to feel bad about sin. Come on. I was leaving a church service 2 weeks ago, and someone behaved inappropriately in their car on the way home from church next to me. They did it twice to me until I was ready to behave inappropriately too. But instead of honking my horn and getting out my gun, I just said some things. You blankety blank blank. The moment I said that, I go, uh-oh. Ruh-roh. I felt convicted. I was convicted they were a bad driver, but I was also convicted that I didn't need to respond that way. Ah, Lord, I'm sorry. It's good to feel bad about sin. Why? Because we want to overcome sin. So when people stop feeling conviction, God just, okay, you can have it. You can just have what you want. And so people behave in all kinds of moral way. Oh, we feel, we're in love, blah, blah, blah. And there's 100 now genders, and there's all these goofy things. People bound and hurting and deceived and giving themselves over. And, oh, we just let people. No, you're not helping anybody by telling them they can't change. Oh, that's just the way you are. No, you can change the way you are. Thank you. You can change. Sexual behavior can change. Why? You're wired to change. So here, so the Bible says in the same chapter, mortify your flesh. Well, I'm thinking, oh, okay, what do I gotta kill it? So I grew up in the church. It's amazing how we talked about that. So here's the simple way. Anything you want to kill, just stop feeding. If you want it to die, stop feeding it. Pastor, I'm having so much lust. I'm having so much problem with lust. Well, do you watch pornography? Only 18 times a day. Well, here's your problem. If you stop that, you can overcome this. You have to take control of the gate of your mind. You have to stop letting things in that give you temptation to sin. Life is hard enough without letting in all kinds of corrupting influences. Can I have an amen from this Catholic congregation? Oh, she's gone. The Southern Baptist Church. So we want to change. So we could anything. It's just you have to believe this. Because the church, well, Pastor, don't we want to accept people that are bisexual and homosexual and people that are polysexual? People that, so I'm not making fun of people, honest. So there's 100, so in California now, I think they're teaching there are 15 genders in public schools. See, you have, so what is that saying? Well, people feel things. I just feel an attraction. So we let people be imprisoned in a lifetime of sinful pain because we're unwilling to confront the thing that needs to change. So we tell people, yes, man, if you're having sexual temptation, that's not biblical. So if you're tempted outside of your marriage, you're tempted to other same sex or whatever it is, it's okay, come here, but make sure you don't ever accept something God wants to change. He can change you. He can change you. Ever known anybody dishonest? Ever known anybody that couldn't tell the truth? Like every other sentence was a lie, and they would just tell it just tell a lie like it was straight truth. Just such a good lie. So God can turn liars into truth tellers. God can turn deceivers and con men and greedy people into wonderful business leaders. There's nobody God can't change. God can take away your depression. God can take away your hopelessness. God can take away your fear. And all of those things, but all of that change happens when you find your pig and get out of your stream. When you change the way you think. The rest of this verse says this. That you, verse 22, did you put off the old man? That's not your husband. Verse 23 says, be renewed in the spirit of your mind. And put on the new man. Ah, there it is. Put on the new until it's really you. Put on the new. I am who God says I am. I have what God says I have. I can do what God says I can do. The word of God. There's no book in the universe, in the world, like the Bible. The Bible is not just a compilation of ancient histories and some good stories and some wonderful, beautiful heart-touching teachings from Christ. The Bible is a living book, breathed by God. When you put the Bible into you, it changes you. It finds your caterpillar and makes you a butterfly. It changes you. It changes you. It changes you. It changes the way you live your life. You are not a victim of your biology. Well, Pastor, everybody in my family thinks like this, feels like this. So what? You're an individual person, and when you came to Christ, God gave you the tools to change your life. So in your story, your brain is the hardware. Your mind is the software. So your brain is the organ. Your mind is the function of that organ. Your ability to think and choose can change the very structure of your brain. I talked about that a little bit just a moment ago. That's the way the science of the brain changing is a beautiful thing to understand and see what God can do in our lives through our story. Amen? Anybody can change, and we're going from glory to glory. We're getting better and better. Every day, your life, every day of your life, you're becoming more intelligent. You're like, Pastor, I live with him. I don't think that's true. No, every day your brain's learning things. So every day, no matter what your IQ test was in school, the more you use your brain, the more intelligent you become. The more you use your brain, the more intelligent you become. So your brain is this wonderful thing, okay? The tree thoughts of your mind can be changed by new thoughts. In your brain, there are 100 billion neurons and 100 trillion connectors. That's what your brain, this phenomenal, wonderful gift of God. God did not make us robots. He made us thinking beings. God is a thinking being, and we are created in his image. In 2 Corinthians 10, verse 3, the Bible says this, though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. Just a couple of things. The Bible tells us we're in a war. Now, listen to me. It's not with the other political party. It's not with someone you... The war is with the enemy, Satan. And the battleground, everybody touch your temple, is your brain. This is the battleground, these 6 inches, in my case, like 8, 10 inches. I have a fat head. I'm just so glad I grew big. When I was a little kid, I had a big head, a little body. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me a big body to match my head. So the war is in our brain. This is the battlefield. The enemy's weapons are thoughts. The Bible calls them fiery arrows. The shield of faith quenches them in our armor, in Ephesians 6. So though we walk in the flesh, we don't war in the flesh. The weapons of a warfare are not carnal, but mighty. Verse 4, in God to the pulling down of strongholds. Everybody say strongholds. So 3 things. Number 1, we have weapons. What is the weapon? Word of God is called a two-edged sword. The blood of Jesus, the name of Jesus, the Spirit of God, the fruit of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit. Everything in the kingdom is a weapon. Love's a weapon. Peace is the weapon. Joy. Everything we employ is a conquering device given to us to live in victory. So I have the weapons I need to win the victories that are set before me. Every battle that I'm in, I can win in victory because I'm weaponized for it. Okay? The weapons of warfare are not carnal, so they're not fleshly. They're supernatural. They're God's gifts to us. And what they're mighty in God, what do? They pull down strongholds. So what's a stronghold? A stronghold is a house built by thoughts inhabited with darkness. Pastor, cast the devil out of me. I will, but if you don't change the way you think, he just comes right back in. Why? He's got a house in you. So a stronghold is any thought arrangement we have that's in rebellion with God, in disagreement with God, contrary to Scripture, is a stronghold. So all of us have them. In the church, we have them. Everyone has them, and God helps us by the Spirit, alerts us to them, and helps us dismantle them. Take them down. How do you remove a stronghold? Well, you rebuke the devil, but then you take it out brick by brick until it's gone. We don't give the enemy any place, any position, any opportunity, any open door, any license to come into our life because there's a stronghold there. So people think strongholds are, oh, Pastor, there's a bunch of witches, a bunch of warlocks. Stop it. The greatest stronghold you'll ever face is sitting in your seat. Okay, it's in your brain, the way we think. So there are pivotal moments in our life when we have breakthroughs. And a breakthrough is when you see a truth that you've been missing and it dismantles a wrong belief, a wrong thought process you've had. Well, Pastor, I can't love people. How can I love people when they're hateful, angry, bitter, and nasty? I've been hurt. I've been betrayed. How can I love people? But you can love people because love's not an emotion. It's an action. You choose to love people. You choose to forgive people. You don't wait till the feelings show up. You do it. You initiate a behavior by choosing a thought process that you know is from God. The more you do that, the more mature you come in Christ, the more victory you have, and the more momentum you gain in life. The more right decisions, right choices you make, the more victory you live in. And the more you renew your mind, the more right choices you'll make. And so when we renew our mind, we start making right choices. Those choices give us a different outcome in life. A different story. A different ending to our story as believers. Okay? So the next verse says this about the deconstruction of a stronghold and living then in the appropriate casting down arguments. The King James says imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing every thought into the captivity to the obedience of Christ. So what does that mean? I find unhealthy, unholy, ungodly thoughts and I capture them by the Holy Spirit, by the Word of God, and I remove them. So I find a negative. So Mary and I first were married. We were really poor because I thought wrong. So I blamed my poverty on the church, which was not paying me much. In California, we lived in a ghetto. There is a little ghetto in Orange County. It's a tiny little area, but I lived there. Santa Ana. Our next door neighbors were drug gang members, the other one, two widows and two gang members. We led them all to Christ. We did the best we could. But anyways, in the middle of that struggle, one day, my wife's out of town for the day, so I wanted to bless her, and we needed a dresser for, I think, Matthew had been born, and he didn't have any furniture yet. Thank God he doesn't have no memory of that now. So he's got a crib, and that's about it. So I went to find a dresser. I found a dresser for like 15 bucks, maybe 20 bucks. The reason why it was 15, 20 bucks was it was the ugliest piece of crap you've ever seen. It was bright yellow. People literally looked at it and they started laughing. So I'm looking at it. I walked around the back and I saw some beautiful, looked like walnut wood. And I thought, there's something good underneath the bad. So I bought it for $20. I'm going to surprise my wife tomorrow when she comes. So woohoo! And so I got me some paint removal and some sandpaper, and I went to work. And so I went to work, and I found out it's hard to change stuff. And so I took off the yellow, and unbelievable, underneath the yellow was like black. And I took off the black, then there was red. Then there was blue. Now, my little project turned into like a 6, 7, 8 hour project. And I'm thinking, what a mistake I've made. Because I initiated to change something without recognizing how hard it would be. After a whole day, because she's coming home the next day, I worked all day, get it all done like on Saturday. It's all done. I got the new varnish and I varnished it in like 5 minutes. Putting on the new was easy after the old was gone. See, your problem is not putting on the new. It's so easy. You're more than a conqueror. Yes, I am. But you go home and you've got 18 non-conquering belief systems. I'm not. I'm a loser. No one loves me. Life's hard. Where are you going? We have all these things that are now processed into our life. And so we have to dismantle. We have to what? Renew our minds. Get rid of the old stuff. So truth comes. Jesus said, if you follow me, you're my disciple. He said this in John 8. And you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. He forgot the other one. Right after you suffer like crazy. The truth will set you free right after it beats the H-E-L-L out of you. Promised my wife I'd stop cussing. What are you saying, Pastor Mike? Well, the truth comes. It's so beautiful, it's so pure, but it finds a contradiction in me. Dun, 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 dun. And that confrontation means I either accept it and let it remove, choose to let it remove the wrong beliefs, or I push it back out. See, oftentimes people that are chronically addicted to, I need a new prophecy, is because they haven't initiated a life change by old prophecies. Well, it's hard. It's hard. It's hard to change, but man, is it worth it? Come on, man, is it worth it? Come on. Come on. Listen. Okay. Clinically, manically depressed for 2.5 years. I was seriously depressed. Not anymore. It wasn't just the anointing of a Benny Hinn meeting. It was renewing my mind. Used to weigh 300 pounds. Not anymore. 100 pounds later. You with me? What happened? You changed your eating habits? No, I changed my thinking habits. Thank you, front row. Medical doctor says amen. I feel better. So everything begins here in the control center. When I let truth in there, everything begins to change in my world. Can I have an amen? Almost done. Aren't you glad? So we have this warfare. We have this unbelievable, often difficult and arduous struggle, but man, is it worth it in the end? Our words and our actions are the direct result of our thoughts. God, show me every thought in my mind that's in rebellion to you. The enemy cannot control your mind. He attacks you by suggestions, by thoughts, fiery arrows. Why else? We think every day 30,000 thoughts. Now, there's some scientific opinion about the exact number, but let's just say between 20 and 40. I picked 30. So every day, so imagine we're in a stadium and there are 30,000 people there and you're at the podium. And so here's what happens. Whoever you empower controls that moment. Okay, so let me help you. An evil thought is not a sin until you let it in. You can't help thinking a thought. Thought comes. But you can help how you respond to it. So we change our outcomes by changing our inward dialogue, our thought life. When we remove the thought, we stop the action. Isn't that good? See, you can love everybody by choosing to. You can have joy by choosing joy. Have peace by choosing peace. They're all there, promises. And sometimes we're waiting on God, and God's waiting for you to take control of your mind. No matter what it is in life, God says, I've empowered you for victory. I've empowered you to renew your mind. You can have a whole different life, a better life, a greater life, a kingdom life. You can think about things. And so here's what I found out. Walking with Christ, every year I think differently. So my thoughts are improving with God's word and spirit, and I'm drawing closer. So every time I come into agreement with God, I release a kingdom outcome when I receive a kingdom thought process. It changes. It's amazing how things can change. Last story. So Mary and I were living in poverty, and I was complaining to God, God, how come you're letting my family live like this? I went to the refrigerator. There was nothing in the refrigerator but frozen chicken in the freezer, a gallon of milk and a bottle of ketchup, not one can in the pantry, and not one other item in the food pantry. I just went up in my room and I sat down. My closet was my prayer closet. Went into my prayer closet. There wasn't many clothes in there, so it was wide open. And I started crying. Man, I never thought my family would suffer from my calling. And here's what God said to me. Michael, it's not my fault you live like this. I looked around the room. Well, if it ain't you, your fault, I don't see anybody else in this congregation today. He said, get out your Bible. I reread the Bible without religious strongholds blinding me from truth. Oh, God blessed Abraham. God blessed Isaac. God blessed Jacob. God blessed David. I reread the Bible that my God will supply all your need. I reread the Bible. I went and got a part-time job. I went to a garage sale, found a used suit. I couldn't afford it. I found a nice suit. So someone died in it. To me, it was nice and brand new. I went and got a part-time job. For the next 10 months, after making nothing, working 15 hours a week, I made $2,000 a week, straight commission job, because my mind changed. When my mind changed about money, my world changed. When God told me to start this church, move over here and start a church 34 years ago, I said, Mary, pack up, we're going. With no fear of financial consequence, because I knew God would meet our need. What? My mind thinks differently about money than I used to. Come on. Whatever is in your mind trying to stop your destiny, this is your season for it to change in Jesus' name. Thank you for listening to me. Would you stand at your feet, everybody? Say this out loud as you stand to your feet. Heavenly Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for your grace, your love, and your forgiveness. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're with me to help me change my life. Thank you, God, for your living word. I boldly declare that I'm in a season of radical change, from glory to glory, from faith to faith, from righteousness to righteousness. As you help me renew my mind, change the way I think. Thank you, God. By the end of this year, I'll be a different person than I am now. In Jesus' name, amen. Come on, give God praise this morning.